friends. Welcome to our podcast, Friends with a Twist. I'm Kenzie.
And I'm Madison.
We're best friends, but we also have a twist. We are social swingers who enjoy not just swinging, but naked fun.
We like finding friends who are sexually confident and free, just like us.
Join us as we discuss and share stories, tips, and husbands.
This podcast will contain sexually explicit material. If you are under 18, we are not the friends for you. Find a new podcast.
Hey, friends with a twist. Welcome to episode 6. Yay. This is Kenzie and my good friend,
Madison. Hey, guys.
Here to chat with you today. Before we get started, I just want to thank everyone for the encouragement, the likes, the love on social media, the listens to this podcast. We appreciate you all. We're open to feedback. We are working on our volume, so hopefully we don't scare anybody. But we do. We appreciate all the feedback and all the love, so please keep it coming. Let us know what you think, what you want to hear about.
Constructive criticism.
I mean, yes, that's preferable. Yes, be nice. We're doing our best here. So thank you all.
And definitely, if you like what you're hearing, please feel free to give us a review on whatever platform you listen to our podcast on. Or you can find us on Instagram at @FWAT_podcast. Same thing on Twitter, @FWAT_podcast. We love to connect with you, share photos with you. We'd like to share some sexy photos throughout the week. So please follow us.
Absolutely. And before we get into our next segment, just a quick shout out to Boston.
What?
Because apparently that's where 5% of our listeners are from. So we love you, Boston. We would love to come visit you all someday. So keep listening. Let us know what you think. And maybe we can connect someday soon. So with that, we are going to transition into our chick chat. We're going to get our shot. Yeah. And here we go.
All right. We got our fireball ready.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, that's nice.
That was chilled perfectly.
I do what I can.
You don't want it too long in the freezer. You don't want it too long in the fridge. It's like a good balance. Yeah, yeah. That was good.
It's tough. Yeah.
So,
what's new?
Oh, I don't know. What's new with me and Barry? Not too much crazy, like lifestyle wise, to be completely honest right now. Just a lot going on with work and stuff in our personal lives. So we haven't really been out and about for lifestyle type meetings. But I guess I could mention, me and Kenzie, we had a girls' night with one of our vanilla friends about a week ago at this point, I think. That was fun. Sometimes it's just fun to have those completely vanilla nights.
Absolutely.
We danced. We were doing like aerobics to music.
It got a little crazy there for a second.
Talking about people we dated, sharing photos, taking shots. Oh, we did like a sampling of different types of shots because our friend is going to be getting married. Sometime within the next year. So we were testing out shots for her bachelorette. Yeah. That was fun.
That was good. There was the clit-licking cowgirl, I think was a contender for the real deal.
Yes.
So that was good.
We did like the deep throw, blowjob. Yeah. I forget what else. Angel's tits was good.
We didn't call it the buttery nipple, but that's kind of what it was. It had a different name though.
I think it was a something cowboy, cock-sucking cowboy or something.
I don't know. There was cocks and tits and clits. It's a lot going on.
So that was fun. I think that's probably one of the newest things for me that I'd say. And honestly, I must say with a girls' night when there's vanilla people involved, it's so funny that sometimes she bring like just this person, but some of our other vanilla friends too, they bring up certain topics that we are so comfortable talking about, but like it's like taboo to them, but they don't realize like what dynamic they're a part of. So it's just kind of funny when she'll ask certain like sexual like questions or like things like that. And we're offering genuine real advice like we normally would. But I don't think if we weren't in the lifestyle, we wouldn't be like totally comfortable. What were we talking about? Like wetness during sex and like lube and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Maybe normal vanilla people do talk about that on girls' night.
Maybe. I mean, there's probably some. Yes.
A few.
Right.
But
probably anyway. Across the board. But we like didn't even bat an eye. We're like, oh, try this, do that, do this. And
I wonder what she thinks.
Didn't even flinch.
That's so funny.
Blame it on the alcohol.
Oh, but how about you, Kenzie? What's new with you and Gary?
Oh, well, I guess I kind of have a one positive, one negative.
Oh, okay.
I'll start with the positive because why not? So we did recently meet another couple.
Oh, yeah.
I had mentioned them in a previous episode that we had met them for dinner. And now this time we had them to the house to hang out.
Oh, okay.
And I won't say a ton about it yet because I feel like for our topics today, that encounter will provide some stories for our other topics later.
Good.
So you'll still hear about it, but just not right now. So that was good. It was a good experience. So, you know, if you can't listen to the whole episode right now, I don't want to leave you hanging too much, but it was good. but you'll hear more about it later. And then I guess kind of the negative, if you will, for Gary and I is that we had to cancel Desire Vacation.
No!
Oh, it hurts.
Where were you going?
Hurts.
First, beginning of April or something like that?
Yeah, like over Easter, so the very beginning of April.
Damn.
So essentially what it boils down to is that we have not yet been able to get a vaccine for the COVID. And due to our jobs and the current regulations and rules and quarantine things that are in place, it just wasn't going to work. And factor into all of that, the 30-day cancellation policy and blah, blah, blah. So it just kind of worked out that we had to pull the trigger one way or another. And unfortunately, it just isn't going to happen for that specific time that we had booked. But we hope that we can get there maybe later this year.
Did you officially reschedule or no? You're just waiting?
No, just waiting. So we'll kind of see how everything starts to play out. But if we can get back later this year, that would be amazing. So we're going to hope for that as of now. But that was definitely a bummer to have to make that decision. So
unfortunately, I've seen a lot of people having to cancel or reschedule on the Ladies Love Desire Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's sad every time I see it, but it seems like you're not the only ones. Like, it's been a continuing thing. A lot of people are rescheduling for the same reasons.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that, too. So I guess there's some comfort in numbers, but, you know, still kind of sucks. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed for you and Barry that you still make your trip.
We didn't cancel May yet.
Yeah, so
we'll see.
Yeah, we're going to have to see how this all plays out. But so even though we aren't going to make it to Desire when we had planned on it, again, just kind of depending how things all play out, we would like to be able to get away just even somewhere in the domestic U.S. And again, I mean, certainly online, you know, different social media, I've seen different places and, you know, ads for different kind of resorts and things. Obviously in the U.S., it's not going to be all inclusive like Mexico, but, you know, kind of the next best thing. So we're maybe hopeful that we can go to one of those.
Clothing, like optional places.
Yeah, something. Yeah. So if there are any listeners who have a recommendation, I know there's a couple places in Florida that I've seen. There's like Caliente and I know there's several others. But if anybody has been to any of those and can offer advice, pros, cons, any of that stuff, if you want to let us know, that'd be awesome because that might have to be sort of our plan B here for now. But yeah, so we would love to be able to just get away and I mean, you know, like... Mm-hmm. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Like, we're all there. We're all sick of COVID and quarantine and everything that goes along with it. But yeah, hopefully if we can at least get away even somewhere within the U.S., that would be awesome. So recommendations, let me know.
Me too. Ooh. Well, yeah, respond to one of our social medias. Me and Barry can go too. Yeah. Oh, would love some feedback on that for sure. And one thing I forgot to mention for what's new, our photo challenge.
Woo, yeah.
If any of you guys listened to episode 5 at the very end, both Kenzie and I challenged each other to post some sort of themed photo on both of our social medias, Instagram and Twitter. I challenged her to share a photo with a hint of vag. Actually, I think I said your vag in it, but you gave a little hint.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully you guys have seen that. If not, please check out our Instagram. Again, it's FWAT_podcast. Same thing for our Twitter, FWAT_podcast. You shared a nice little, very classy vagina photo, I must say.
Yeah.
Good job on
Thanks.
That one.
Yeah.
Totally checked the box there.
You had to want it. You had to like click on it and zoom in.
You had to know what you're looking for.
Yeah. It was kind of a hide and seek kind of
That's
thing.
That's what we like. We don't just need the blatant like, here I am, like spread. No, you got to kind of work and get to it.
Yeah,
so it was perfect. And then I shared, you challenged me to do a photo with Fireball, our favorite shot. And I think that was pretty easy for me. I took those nice, they're pretty significantly large Fireball shot bottles.
Yeah.
I forget the ounces, but they're bigger than the normal regular shot, you know, covered the nips with them. And I shared a photo of my
It's a very good photo.
Boobies with Fireball. So check that out.
What's not to love about that?
Make sure you check it out. Like it. If you have any ideas for any other future photo challenges we can give to each other, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, that'd be great. So I think on that note, we are probably going to go get another shot of Fireball, and then we will be back with our Life in the Lifestyle segment. Hang in there.
So now we are on to our Life in the Lifestyle segment. This week, our topic is by women.
Woo!
Which I think both of us have a little bit in us at this point. There's a lot of terms for bisexual women. There's a whole freaking spectrum. And I think I've met like the whole range of people to this point, or at least people at some end of the spectrum. Yeah. I think kind of like our last episode when we talked about anal sex, we gave all these funny terms about it. Mm-hmm. I think we should let's start with that for the bisexuality.
All right.
For women. Yeah.
All right. Here's one for you. AC/DC, because you go both ways.
That one took me a minute to understand.
Yeah, I know. You need basic electricity understanding. It's a little heavy, but
now I get it.
Beer bi. You're bisexual only when under the influence of alcohol.
Oh, yeah, this is a very common one.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think for us it's Fireball bi, but same idea. How about heteroflexible?
Ooh. That's like sophisticated term for bisexual women.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think probably the more common terms that you will hear out there on websites or, I don't know, in interacting with people, mm-hmm. I think some of the big ones that will come up are bisexual, bicurious, bi-friendly, and my personal favorite, bi-situational.
Yes, I feel like that's like the most popular one.
And definitely some overlap, I think, with all of those terms. But
for example,
Gary and I, in our semi-private life, I guess, you've heard us talk about the SLS website. Uh-huh. And on that profile, as a female, like I can indicate, well, I mean, men can too. I shouldn't be so gender specific. Mm-hmm. You as a human can indicate your sexual preference in your profile. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a little limited. So again, as a woman, I can choose, I think it's just bisexual and bi-curious.
Yeah.
Or like nothing, none of it. I want no part of it.
Straight.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's fine. Like, you know, three options is nice, but
there's definitely more to it. Like, it's hard to just put yourself in one box. I didn't even plan that.
So the reason, part of the reason anyway, that we wanted to broach
both.
Yeah. I don't know. Why we're talking about this today is because I feel like as a woman in the lifestyle, you are going to get the question, do you play with women?
Oh, yeah.
You are going to encounter women who will want to play with you as a woman. Mm-hmm. You're going to encounter men that want to watch the women play, et cetera, et cetera.
And that's it. Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to come up. I'll probably end up saying this again. Our intent here is not to force or persuade or say that you should be playing with women, but I just think that you're going to encounter it in the lifestyle. So if you're new to all of this, I just feel like it's something that you might want to be prepared for.
Or at least asked about, yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to get those questions. So it's just something that you might want to have on your radar so that you are prepared to answer those questions in a way that accurately represents how you really feel and not that you're just on the spot in the moment trying to come up with an answer. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why we wanted to, I think, tackle this one.
Yeah. And I think a lot of our encounters, correct me if I'm wrong, but they do at least involve some sort of girl-girl play.
Yeah.
If you're playing with another couple or a single female, obviously. So yeah, I think there's at least a little bit of it. And when we were prepping for this segment, we found this new term that we've never heard before. Mm-hmm. This Bambi sexuality.
Yeah.
We're a little offended at first because, you know, Bambi, so sweet little deer, just, Disney, you know?
Trying to be a deer.
But apparently, so the purpose of being the Bambi sexuality is physical interaction. It's centered more around touching, kissing, caressing the other person versus that just full-on genital penetration, interaction, and genital sexuality.
Right.
Have you come across that? I feel like I have. That's more like a bi curious type of thing, I think.
I would agree.
Or bi friendly.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to, your main purpose of meeting another female isn't just because you want to, like, eat them out. Like, right. You just want to do a little bit of experimentation and stuff. I think that term kind of goes with that.
I would agree. And yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, I had not heard that term, the Bambi sexuality, before. Mm-mm. But in looking at the definition, yes, to me, it sounds more of that sort of bi-curious realm of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Where you're okay, or you're open to at least, yeah, kind of like that touching or kissing another woman, but you're maybe not necessarily interested in the muff diving and that kind of thing.
It just sounds funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a new one for me. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think you are, Kenzie? What would you best identify with? I mean, you kind of mentioned it with your SLS profile, but mm-hmm. really, like, thinking about all this full spectrum.
Yeah.
Where do you think you more so fall?
Yeah. I would say that I identify as probably bi-situational on that SLS profile. I'm pretty sure I'm listed. I think I'm just full bi. I think I made Gary list me as bi-curious when we first started, mm-hmm. and then it changed and whatever. I don't know. It's just not really all that accurate. But for me, I would say probably bi-situational. Mm-hmm. I enjoy interacting with another woman. I can appreciate a woman's body and the softness, yeah. and like there is something different sensual. About it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for me, I guess typically if it's like, you know, like a first date with a new couple and I'm answering this question, my sort of like one liner is that for me, it's an appetizer. It's nice to have. Yeah. I don't need it. I think it can add something to the play situation. It's a nice option to have.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly not going to demand it or be upset if it doesn't happen or, you know, anything to that effect. Mm-hmm. So I typically tend to talk about it as, I call it an appetizer because I think it's nice to have. It's a nice option.
I like that.
But I don't need it. But how about you, Madison? Where do you feel like you fall on the spectrum?
Honestly, I think I'm pretty much the same. I kind of like struggled with really like what, not that you need to have a term to define you like what you like in certain situations, like,
sure.
Well, I guess bi-situational at that point. But it can vary from time to time too.
Oh, yeah.
It can depend on the person. Maybe you can just be fully full on attracted to somebody, or right. It can just be like you're attracted to the couple together and the situation, it just makes it hotter and whatnot. So I guess ultimately bi-situational, but mm-hmm. I kind of struggled with it at first when I kind of got into this. That's a good question. When did you first kind of realize, if you don't mind me asking, do you want to share with everyone when you first like thought it was okay to interact that way with a female?
Oof. So the clearest memory that I have, but like I don't even know what the timeline is, like how far into the whole lifestyle journey we were. I mean, we must have been a couple years in.
Oh, wait. So you were already like meeting other couples or singles at this point?
Yeah, I think so. If Whoa. I understand the question
okay.
correctly.
Okay, go on.
Because I think when we first set up our profile online, mm-hmm. I was listed as straight.
Oh, I guess I didn't realize that.
And then I feel like as we actually started to go to some parties and meet some people, then I understood that this is like a component. And I was like, okay, like let me think about this. But I distinctly remember, and again, I think it was probably like a couple years in, I still remember, like, it was so awkward, but we were at a couple's house, and the piece that's awkward for me is that, like, their child was upstairs asleep, which, I don't know, that it makes me a little uncomfortable.
I know it happens, but.
So there was that happening. But anyway, we were all in their living room, like, downstairs, in front of a fireplace. And that was the first time that I had touched another woman's breasts.
Oh.
Like as a grown-ass woman, like, oh, here's a first.
Good for you.
And it was really enjoyable. Like it was just kind of fun. I was like, okay, like I kind of get it now. Like okay. I kind of understand like why
naked.
Guys. Yeah, yeah.
Skin
yeah.
to skin.
Like okay. skin to skin. Okay. And I was like, okay, like I can almost kind of get this now. Like why guys are so
Appreciate
obsessed
it.
And
yeah.
like, oh, they are kind of fun. Like, okay, like I can kind of get it now. But yeah, like I just distinctly remember that was the first time. Like, I had kissed girls in college.
Oh, okay.
So there was that sort of, I guess, to preface all of this. So, but that was, like, I don't know. In some ways, somehow, like, that didn't really, like, count in my mind.
This, like, meant it was different.
This was definitely different. Mm-hmm. So I remember that. And then I was like, okay, like, yeah, I can see how this would be fun. And mm-hmm. I think that's probably roughly the time when maybe my profile status, like, changed over to Bi Curious or whatever, you know, my option was at that point. But yeah, but it was like, it was a fun experience and I enjoyed it. So I was like, okay, like, I could be open to more of this. So I think that's kind of how it went for me. But what about you, Madison?
That's pretty cool. I don't think I ever asked you about that. No, or maybe I didn't. I just forgot.
No.
I don't
know. And that's okay too. But no, I don't think we've ever actually talked about it.
That's pretty cool. No, that's nice. That's a little more like natural, like slow, like you weren't like thrown into it and like, you gotta eat this woman out or we're gonna have fun kind of thing.
Yeah, that was a whole nother, yeah.
No, I don't know. I honestly struggle to remember the first time. I kind of was interested in bisexuality, too. I know it definitely kind of experimented with it as I was a little bit younger and single, like, with friends of mine. Like, a little bit of, like, oh, well, we touch each other a little. I'm like, oh, this is okay. Like, it's not that weird. No, it wasn't, like, someone who was over 18 and I was underage and they were touching me. No, I don't mean anything like that. I just meant like it was us, like me and my best friend, and like we just realized like certain sensations were kind of okay. And,
yeah.
We kind of liked it. And then, same thing in college and whatnot, like the kissing of girls. But I think when I did that, it kind of meant more to me if I think back. Like I was kind of like more turned on by it in a way.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like a fun thing or it doesn't mean anything. I kind of definitely, like, deep in my soul, kind of thought it meant more. And then when I started getting into the lifestyle, started right off the bat with it said bisexual with my ex, like, on our profile. Mm-hmm. And definitely a lot of the soft swapping that we did with couples always started with girl play. Actually, honestly, I think most of my scenarios when I first got into the lifestyle with my first partner was girl stuff started it all off.
Yeah.
Kind of like I wasn't really sure, but like I was definitely okay with it. Mm-hmm. But I'm thankful for it because now I really do enjoy that. So I guess I am definitely still, like we said before, bisituational. I don't meet a lot of girls and just play with girls one-on-one.
Yeah,
I have done it in the past, but not like I don't like crave it for some reason. I kind of like more so that male dominance inserted in the situation too. So
yeah,
just for me personally.
Yeah.
But we've definitely kind of evolved through this, and I think it's fair to say that I wish SLS had more choices, like, as far as what you identify with sexuality-wise. It's definitely not a hard stop, and I think a lot of people, it's okay to experience a little, and I didn't realize this whole Bambi sexuality thing term we talked about is actually pretty common. I think that's a fair way to start. Like, if you're curious, but you're not really sure, maybe it's starting with just the kissing, the touching like you did, and then maybe see if you're comfortable or if you like it at all.
Yeah, definitely.
And then move forward that way.
Yeah. And I think we will talk a little bit more here about some of our experiences. But before we get into that part, I just wanted to sort of give a little shout out. If this is a topic that you are interested in and would like to hear a little bit more about, the Swinger Diaries podcast, in their episode 88, go
very
check it
specific.
Out. Well, you know, I want to give people the resources they need. They actually had a segment. They asked, why is girl play so prevalent in the lifestyle? Because I totally agree that it is. Yeah. So like they were kind of trying to like explore why. And they essentially sort of defined it as like three main, I don't know, reasons, if you will. But they were kind of looking at, like, is it something that the female really wants to explore? Or is it something that's done for the male benefit? Or is it, like, a less intimidating way to kind of venture into the lifestyle? So definitely check it out. There was some good, you know, they included some listener responses there. So it seems to be that the prevalent kind of response, if you will, in my opinion anyway, listening to it, is that women have that sort of softer and gentler touch.
Oh,
it can be a little more seductive and sensual.
Because they know how it feels.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to interject there. Like, when I'm touching or playing with another woman, all I'm thinking about is, like, how this would feel on me. So that's kind of where it guides me to know where to touch and play with another woman. Go on.
No, because I think it is. Like, that's kind of your starting point.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, not every woman likes the same thing.
Yeah.
But it does at least give you sort of a reference point to sort of start from and then sort of take some cues. But yeah, it was kind of sounding like the consensus is that it can be kind of a sexy, easy, kind of casual way to maybe start the night or to start the play session.
Oh, yes.
And I think, too, like, as women, for us, it does open up more options. Because then potentially, like, we're playing, I mean, really, you could play with 4 out of 4 people. If you play with yourself, the other woman, and both men, like, you have it all at your fingertips.
True.
But it does kind of open up more options. So I think for me, like, the act itself, whatever it may be, is enjoyable. But it is kind of fun to sort of have that extra option in a play scenario, too. So just another little something to throw out there, and a shout out to Swinger Diaries. Yay, guys. Just to kind of, you know, give you some credit there. But again, check it out if you're interested in that topic. So
yeah, I just think, kind of summarizing all of this back into our personal lives, me and you, Kenzie, we're like bi-situational together. Like, we enjoy playing together, but we were just saying right before we recorded this episode that I don't think we've, like, met privately one-on-one to play. Not that, like, we'd ultimately be opposed to it.
Right.
But I think, I don't know, together we just kind of crave more that whole couple experience.
Yeah, like that dynamic.
Overall.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I might be putting words in your mouth.
No,
but
no, I
kind of think for us, ultimately, like, that's our thing. We usually play together as a group.
Yeah,
but
I would agree. I think the closest we ever came, and not even for real, but I'm just remembering, there was sort of like a girls' night, and we were watching a movie, and I was so excited about this, like, massage gun that I had just received that I had ordered off Amazon, blah, blah, blah. Huh? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, Madison, you got to check this out.
Yeah.
So, like, our vanilla pregnant friend at the time is sitting in the recliner. Madison's laying on the floor. Mm-hmm. I bring out this massage gun, and I'm basically, like, straddling her as she's laying face down on the floor.
Yep.
Like, just running this, like, massage gun all over her. And it must have been 5 minutes in before it even dawned on my my pea brain. Like, I wonder what this other girl is thinking right now. Like, that this is just something we do all the time.
She did make a comment, like, it was a little weird as you were massaging my ass for a good few minutes.
Yeah. Didn't even dawn on me. I'm just like, oh my God, you have to check out this massage gun. It's great. So yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's like a cautionary tale more than anything, but
just be careful where you play.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, I feel like we have probably more of those moments than just like, I'm grabbing your boobs,
I'm here and I want to just lick your pussy.
Yeah, right. I don't know if that's really
not opposed, but right, like, no, we just don't regularly do
as
friends.
So
any other stories or bad good things you have on the bi topic?
I mean, I think the one that always stands out to me, and I'm sure partly because it's you and, like, you're my favorite. So once upon a time, and this was years ago, so we really should probably give it another go around.
Oh, God. What?
I think Gary had bought a double dildo.
Oh, we have one of those fucking monsters, too.
And it was, I think it was under the auspice of, like, a Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember, because it was at our old house before Gary and I moved to where we live now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still picture sort of, like, in the living room on the floor trying to figure out this double dildo. And that was the first time that I had used one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure, like, I felt it. So I'm sure you did, too. Like, I was just, like, awkward and, like, just trying to figure out sort of the logistics and, like, where to move, how to move. And
it's like a thick-ass big gummy worm. It's,
yeah,
like, intense.
It's purple. There's, like, a strap. You have to, like, get into it. So, I mean, I don't know if we need to revisit that specific toy. But I think now, like, at least for me, having had more experience since
then,
I feel like I could be better. So we should put that on our bucket list, maybe.
Future episode, we will revisit this topic and get back to you.
Report back.
Oh.
But it was fun. I mean, I remember it being enjoyable, but I also remember just feeling like I clearly don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know, like, if it's...
That's common. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
That was my experience, so... Out there, if you're listening, like, don't feel bad if that's yours too. I mean, like, we stayed friends. It was okay. It wasn't a deal breaker. So there's hope if you're not totally comfortable the first time that you do everything.
Yeah. So I think, honestly, the takeaway message with this whole bisexual female aspect of the lifestyle is you don't need to have a set term. You just kind of go with the flow. That's okay. It can depend on the situation. It can depend on the person or the couple, whoever you're playing with or meeting with.
Absolutely.
And if you're new to this lifestyle, you're definitely going to encounter some type of bi woman, I am sure, at some point, or it's going to come up as a question if you're meeting another couple.
Sure.
And it's okay if it's not your thing. It is not a requirement every time you play. It is just very common, so don't be offended or afraid if you do get asked about that.
Absolutely.
I think that's about it.
Well said. We are going to take a short break, and then we will be back with our Going Deep segment. Stay tuned.
All right, and we're back with our Going Deep segment.
Yeah.
So today we're going to focus a little bit about locations, like where to play, where we have played, places we've been, pros, cons, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to start it off. Yeah. We're just going to get right to the point. So typically in general, where we play, if... You know, Barry and I, if we meet another couple, we definitely offer up our house as a location. I know a lot of people aren't comfortable with that, whether they have kids or whatever else going on. But we offer that up. We have this nice downstairs area. It's like a bar hangout area. And typically, we do a lot of our play downstairs that way. Mm-hmm. We're not opposed to playing in our bedroom by any means. But I think just for some reason, we just never have to this point. And honestly, now that I think about when we've met other single guys, a lot of the times we play in their bedrooms, now that I'm just thinking about that, for some reason. I mean, besides that, I think we'll get into a little more about some of the clubs and, like, locations we've been to, both of us. Mm-hmm. But do you have, like, a preference or kind of your go-to for you and Gary when you're meeting singles, couples, whatever it may be?
Yeah. I would say for us, we actually prefer not to play in our own bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Really no other reason than I guess that's kind of, that's sacred. Like the one last sacred thing, like
in your life.
We'll kind of do anything with anyone almost. But like, so that's apparently where we draw the line. I don't know, like saying it out loud, it doesn't really make total sense, but I guess we like to reserve that space just for us.
That's fair.
So, yeah, I guess that's kind of what it comes down to. But otherwise, I would say for us, definitely like the living room.
Yeah.
We have, I think, a nice fireplace. You might have seen some
photos,
some Christmas photos featuring it. So like, you know, in these winter months here in the Northeast, like that can kind of make a nice backdrop, I guess, you know, for entertaining sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do also, we are fortunate enough to have a hot tub.
Oh, yes.
So that Love factors that. Into the whole play equation more often than not.
All right. How often do you play in your hot tub? I don't know if it's just me, but when we've played in your hot tub, I have a hard time actually playing like in deep in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Like I typically like to be bent over the side. Oh. Maybe it's just like a water thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. How, like, what's your deal with that?
Okay. So it's kind of a two-part answer. I would say we play a lot in the hot tub. So I don't know if that's like grossing people out right now, but it's like properly like chemically balanced and like.
You have a lot of chemicals.
Everybody like just be cool. Like it's not a cesspool. But I would say we do probably play a lot, but I completely understand and empathize with sort of the water play.
Yeah.
It just, I can't quite ever seem to get the right angle or the right friction or the right, like, like it's all, it's nice and fine and like enjoyable. Like I'm not in pain or not enjoying, but it's just like not the same.
Yeah. And I'm just going to interject here. Yeah. Barry and I, we have a pool and we've done it in the water. And it's fun to kind of get it going. But after a while, it's like the water's like splashing. There's a smack in. And like it's still good, but it's like I don't know. It kind of interrupts the rhythm a little bit. There's just something with water.
I agree. So that can be difficult. But yeah, I mean, I would say for us, I think that that tends to be either, I don't know, like a conduit to further play or yeah. I don't know. It can kind of factor in.
Appetizer.
Yeah, it's an appetizer. And then also in the few warm months that we get here in our area where we live, we have a pretty private backyard. So we are able to have the option to play outside, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, you're the naked house.
We're not. We're so naked. I guess really the only sort of consideration is volume. We typically have music on. Like, even if I'm just out floating in the pool by myself, I typically will have music on. So in my head, that covers some of the potential sex noises that might happen.
Oh, I don't know. Because but I bet when I've played here, some like, I tend to yell and scream, like, moan very, very loud.
Yeah,
if your neighbors were sitting out, they would hear something.
Something. Yeah. No. Yeah, I know.
I probably like it.
But. I know that's reality. But in my head, I like to just pretend.
Pretend it doesn't happen.
Like, it's just part of the song. It's the music. Whatevs. Thankfully, none of the neighbors have ever come to knock on the front door and say,
dear God.
No. Like, be quiet or turn the music down or I don't know, like nothing like that. So we're just going to roll with it for now. So, yeah, like when we're able, I would probably say that that's our preference is to play outside if we can. But obviously that's not possible all year long where we live. So
do you guys ever wish you had like a playroom in your house? You know, like the red room. Yeah. 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, I know.
Or are you planning to and you just haven't told me yet?
Yes. Sometimes I think it would be nice to have a playroom.
Okay.
No, I don't have concrete like blueprints laid out yet. No, I mean like right now, you know, I guess like. Hi, get to know Kenzie. Our basement is not finished. So like we have sort of batted around that idea. Yeah. Of like there is that opportunity. But yeah, nothing, no concrete plans. Because I feel like that would at least be easy enough to conceal. Like no one really goes in our basement right now. Like it's just, it's a cement basement where the Christmas decorations live. You
Unless
know what
we're
I mean?
Playing naked drinking games in the winter.
Oh, there's been that. Do that. Yeah. Well, all right, fine. But those people would be okay with a red room of pain.
Yes,
wouldn't have to hide it from them. So yeah, so that would be nice. But like, what do you think? Like, what if you were going to have some sort of like, you know, Christian Grey red room of pain or whatever kind of playroom.
Pleasure, not pain.
Like a pleasure room. Like what would you want in there? Like what kind of toys? What kind of structures? Like, I don't even know like what the right words are here.
One. Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, it would be dark. There'd be mood lighting.
Yes.
I would we have not the Sibian. That's the thing you sit on, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have like the.
It's Sibian-like?
Yes.
Okay.
That seems
the tremor.
Good. The tremor. Okay. So we have the tremor. The tremor would be there. It would be elevated with a spotlight on you.
That would be a fabulous photo.
No, obviously, if it was ideal, like, we'd have a big enough bed, at least a queen, like, for play. There'd be, like, a little couch for the bending over type scenarios.
Right.
Honestly, I think I'd take some inspo from some of the clubs we've been to. Thankfully, locally, and don't worry, I'll give you time to talk about your ideal room. But locally, where we are, there's a lot of clubs that we go to that are, like, they're lifestyle clubs. Some of them were previously houses or... Yeah, they are houses, but they were turned into clubs for swingers with themed rooms. We also have legit, like, big building clubs with themed rooms. It seems themed rooms is the thing. And I think I'd pull ideas from some of those, like, not just necessarily, like, the, oh, it's a Hollywood room, or, oh, it's the Egyptian room, or things like that, but just, like... Some places they have a room with a swing. That'd be cool to have. You tried that once. Have you tried the swing?
No.
Tried it for a little. It was okay. But there were a lot of people watching when we did it, and it was just a little weird. But
yeah.
There's pros and cons, I think, to like playing in those types of situations.
Yeah.
Like these themed rooms and these clubs. It's definitely easy. It's convenient. It can be pretty anonymous. No one knows you're there, what you're doing.
Right.
Kind of thing. But also, I don't know, sometimes in those club scenarios, yeah, ultimately you're going out to meet people because you want to play, but I feel like there's more pressure kind of when we go to some of these clubs. Or if you don't plan to meet someone there, I feel like it's less likely to play. Have you, I don't know, I might be getting off topic here, but I feel when we go to those parties and club events, yeah, house turn club places, mm-hmm, like if we don't go planning to meet someone, we usually just hang out and mingle and talk to people.
Yeah.
Maybe once or twice, yeah, we'll end up playing with someone, mm-hmm, but those are prime locations to play with people.
True.
But what are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, it can be a double-edged sword because I feel like those, and like, obviously I know the clubs that Madison is talking about, mm-hmm, but it does lend itself to play. If you,
yeah, that's a goal.
If you, yeah, are meeting someone that you've chatted with online, you could go play. Mm-hmm. If you're just meeting someone for the first time, you could go play. Like, obviously it lends itself to
it's
that
easy
option.
Easy that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Expensive, but easy.
Right. But yeah, but obviously, like, not necessary, not mandatory.
No.
Yeah, we've had, I think, both experiences. Mm-hmm. Like, I can clearly remember a time when we met a couple at a club. We didn't know them before that night. We hadn't planned on doing anything with anyone. It, mm-hmm, was just sort of one of those, like, oh, it's Saturday night. Like, nothing else is going on. Like, let's go check out the club kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, we met these people and, like, in all honesty, looking back on it, it was not a wise choice, but
we've all been there.
It happened. So fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, some of those playrooms are just, I mean, if you're not the first one in
cheesy,
it
dirty,
for the night. Yeah.
Okay.
All,
oh,
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. All of that. Like, yeah. Okay. They put like a fresh sheet down, but it's just, it can be awkward. Like, it's just a small, like, it's a closet that somebody turned into a play. Like, I don't know. Like, there can just be some awkwardness. And yeah, I think we've all been there where maybe you have, you know, made a choice that by the light of the next day was not your finest moment. But, yeah, you know, and they, I don't know, at the time it seemed okay.
So yeah, clearly there's a range of experiences in some of these public places that, yeah, are dedicated to lifestyle people. But I will say, just remember, if you go to any of these places, go prepared.
Yes.
Bring your own protection, lube, play toys, and baby wipes. That, yeah, was a biggie. I didn't know. Just, yeah, FYI.
No, that's good.
Or if you play at people's or friends' houses, people's, yeah, houses, whatever, bring all that shit too.
Yeah.
So, you know what? You didn't expand upon this yet, but you said you had a little story for us, Kenzie. Maybe let's, like, take it back to your house and kind of playing at your house. What, okay, do you have to share about that?
Okay. So our most recent experience with a newer couple that we have met a couple times now, we had them over. We had a few snacks, a few drinks, a few sort of like get to know you kind of conversations. One thing led to another, and we end up in the living room in front of the fireplace.
Naked.
Yeah, there was some nakedness. So there, I think there are pros and cons probably to all of this, to playing at a club, to playing at a house, like wherever you're playing. There's probably pros and cons no matter what.
Yeah.
So for us, we have actually Gary and I call it the sex bed. That's not what it was advertised online when I bought it. It was called like a sun bed or like a day bed or something
outside.
Yeah. But we call it the sex bed. So anyway. It's had some sex on it, so it's an apt name at this point. But this bed has like a wooden frame and then a cushion, essentially. And, yep, it's intended to be outside. But now that it's winter here where we live, we use the cushion in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than just having to be like on our carpet, like, I don't know, where the dog
pretty
lays,
thin,
you know, like it's not, yeah, super sexy. So, yeah, like, we offer at least this cushion with a sheet on it. Like, we're trying to be, you know, cleanly and appropriate here.
Yeah.
So we typically will have, if it seems it's going that way, we will bring out this cushion and the appropriate sheeting, yeah, and like, now it's all clinical. But anyway, so we have that equipment, if you will. And then we also obviously have a couch in our living room, mm-hmm, which is a play location.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they all have probably their pros and cons. I feel like Gary doesn't love the couch. Like, even if it's just he and I, or, mm-hmm, you know, in a swing situation.
Why is that?
He's a pretty tall guy.
Yeah.
So I don't think like the proportions of the couch are quite right.
Yeah.
It can be kind of like awkward positioning. I know even just for Gary and I on our own, like not even in a play situation, like, yeah, I have trouble hitting the right angles if it's just he and I just on the floor. which is weird maybe, but so there's just kind of like these things that you probably don't think about ahead of time. But if you're not just in your standard, like we're in the bed having the sex, like these other locations can kind of present their own pros and cons. Thankfully, like we made it work. It was a lovely experience. What was kind
so
of
like, give me more details.
All right, all right. I was getting there.
I was warming up. We talked about the girl play. Give me a little more.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so actually to tie it back into last segment, this particular female actually after the fact commented to Gary that she was, quote unquote, relieved that I did not initiate like girl-girl play because it's really not her thing.
And you didn't talk about it beforehand?
No.
It was it just happened.
It just
that
sort
way.
Of was organic.
It was fate.
That it worked out that way, yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like I'm not, you know, as like the appetizer girl,
aggressive.
I'm not aggressive about it. Like, yeah. I don't necessarily seek it out.
Yeah.
So if the other girl isn't necessarily showing that kind of interest, I'm typically not going to be the one to initiate it either then.
Yeah.
So yeah, in that respect, like that kind of worked out.
Can I ask how it started or is that too personal?
No, that's not like how the play started.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gary and I are big fans of games.
Okay.
So.
Well, I know that, but yeah.
I know, you know. You've had to play all these damn games. But this was a combination of Jenga and an actual like deck of cards that had kind of like truth or dare questions on them.
Wow. So it started like removing clothes and stuff.
Right.
Like
yeah.
That.
Pretty kissing, like pretty mild. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Bambi play.
Yes. And so it was actually pretty funny because like we had done a round. I think I fucked it up and like smashed the Jenga tower over. And then I think Gary made a comment about like round two or like, you know, like starting over or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And the other female was like, or we could just get naked.
Oh.
And we're like, oh, okay, fine. Yeah. I mean, that's cool. But
she was ready.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, fine. Like point taken. So that was kind of like the literal moment when the switch flipped.
Sometimes you get that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like our progression was like this sort of Jenga truth or dare sort of game. But it was fun. And since then, we have purchased, thank you, Amazon, essentially like a water, it's probably not waterproof, water resistant blanket. Because I feel I am not one of these elite women that squirts.
Squirters. Oh, we should talk about that.
That'll
at some
be a whole nother episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Next.
But I know it's a thing and it's fine.
Yeah.
So, but
I want to see it so bad, by the way. Never
if you're
have.
Like, if we're going to play on my couch where,
you don't
I,
want that.
Where I have my Sunday coffee, like I don't need a big wet spot from the Saturday. Like, you know, like I just, there's. Little separation there.
Yeah.
So we bought this like blanket that is supposed to be, again, I guess kind of water resistant, if you will.
For your sex bed.
Wherever that blanket needs to be is where it's going to go. I will not need to be on the blanket. Like I'm the girl who's like always reaching for the lube. Like I'm not concerned about myself so much. But if we happen to have, you know, a couple, a partner, a person who has that ability...
You're ready.
I'm ready now. So we're sort
it,
of
like
expanding.
It came, like you have it now.
Yeah.
You didn't have it when you met those people.
Correct.
Okay.
But since then.
So you haven't used it yet.
No. Ooh. We opened it.
Challenge anybody out there. Anybody out there
what?
In the Northeast.
Quick, I need a squirter. So I don't know. But so we're expanding, I guess, our play things. I know. I can't quite wrap my head around it because I am not able to do it myself.
Yeah, I just want to see how it happens.
Yeah. Like I'm not trying to judge here by any
means.
No. So
we admire.
Off topic. Yeah. I went down a path there. I don't know.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah. So it was a good time.
Okay. Yeah.
We liked these people.
So you're going to like meet them again, you think? They're like
think
good
so.
Friends, you think?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's potential. Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll
not
be
that
good.
You need to like hang out with them all the time, but we're always looking for group new friends.
Yeah, yeah. So. Incorporate some new people. So
yeah.
So yeah, it was good. And one just quick little extra there. Mm-hmm. I think what kind of made this particular encounter enjoyable, I don't know, among other things, it was a little unique for us because we did this Jenga game, we played, We went in the hot tub.
Oh.
We came back into the living room and played again.
How was your play? Was it full-on swap? Can I ask that? Yes. Or soft swap both times?
Yep, there was full swapping.
Both times?
Yeah.
So you had sex twice?
Yeah.
With the other guy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No,
that was a big night. But that was
for you.
That was sort of new for us because, yeah. Again, like, I feel like the hot tub tends to be like a conduit to play. Like,
or it's a night ender.
Well, there's it, that. There's if extremes. You've had too much to drink, yeah, believe me, I've been there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but no, this actually worked pretty well. Like, there was good chemistry. We had fun.
Shit, I'm jealous.
We'll just leave it there, I guess. But
good for you.
All of this is to say that I think that wherever you're playing, whether it's a club, a house, inside, outside, whatever it is, I think it's important to consider everyone's comfort level.
Yeah.
Obviously, not only in terms of, you know, like soft swap, full swap, like what they're comfortable with there, but even just, again, I think, like, speaking for myself, there are just like some locations or angles or like in the water, like it just maybe isn't going to do it for me.
Yeah.
So you might have to get, I don't know, creative or like try a couple different positions or, you know, be flexible. And then I also think that especially if you're at someone's house, I think maybe this goes without saying, but I think it goes a long way to be respectful of the host couple.
Yeah.
Like if you're playing at somebody else's house, I don't know, like don't throw your used condom like into the corner of the room where they might not find it for 3 days or like, I don't
Seriously,
know.
Seriously. Yeah.
Like that's probably a weird example, but like, just like,
I'm sure it's happened.
Be respectful, you know, of people's spaces. And then like you had said, Madison, kind of coming prepared with things.
Yeah. You can never, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I have a hard time trusting or like relying on people.
Yeah. No, that's
so
fair.
So I think it's fair to, even if you're going to your good friends or somebody new and you're not sure you're going to play, it's still okay to like have that bag of stuff just in case. So you're prepared. Maybe a toy that you really like, maybe some lube, condoms for sure, baby wipes. Remember I said that. just in case, because you never know how things are going to go. And I always like to have that kind of to-go bag.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, a swinger bag. Maybe that'll be part of a next episode as well. But
yeah.
No, I agree. So
well said.
Absolutely. So with that, we are going to take another little break, and then we will come back with our surprise question. All right, so we are back for our last segment, our surprise question, where our husbands, Barry and
Love
Gary,
yeah.
give us a question that we read sort of live on air, if you will, here.
Yep.
We have not seen or heard the question before,
so
I'm going to read it, and then we have to answer it sort of here in the moment, no prior preparation. Yep.
Correct. She's right. Flipping it over now.
So here we go. If I can, it's always sort of chicken scratch. So we'll see. I know, right? All right. Let's revisit your bisexuality.
Okay.
What features, characteristics, or actions from another woman give you the quote unquote feels, aka turns you on?
What features, characteristics, and actions
from another woman give you the feels or turn you on?
Okay. All right. So what do I like about women, basically? Across the board, it's generally, like we said earlier, that softer, sensual touch, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
When it gets down to the deep and dirty genitalia play. That sounds so weird. Pussy play.
Oh, that's better.
I feel like females just understand better where, like, the better places to place their fingers. So that goes along with what actions do I prefer.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's not as shocking when a female starts to finger me versus a male. Like, males aren't bad, but females just kind of get it a little bit better sometimes. And, side note, totally gloating for myself here, but I think I'm really good at fingering another female because, like I said, I think back to like what feels good for me, and I've had a lot of good feedback. Not gonna lie, maybe I need to do it again to you. Apparently, but like I think I'm pretty good at fingering another woman because like I know what I want to feel and I know what feels good. Like it's just easier for us to understand.
Sure.
And I guess generally going back to the whole touching thing, as I'm touching myself right now as I'm talking about this.
She is.
But like touching the boobs, you know, just feeling the body overall, the smooth skin, the soft skin. Mm-hmm, like it just, yeah, it's an overall more sensual experience that turns me on in a different way than a guy does.
I agree.
How about you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily have just one feature. Like,
no.
I feel like guys get asked a lot. Like, are they, like, are you a boob guy? Are you an ass man? Like, whatever.
Oh, my God, they do.
I don't really identify that way. But, like, we have a friend in the lifestyle that I think she has just the most amazing lips.
Aww.
So, like, her lips, I mean... I don't like to say her lips turn me on feels like kind of a strong statement.
Her lips on her mouth or?
Yes, yes. Her actual face, mouth, lips. Those lips.
Okay.
But yeah, like those, like I find them really attractive and sexy.
Ooh, that's nice.
And I feel like for other women, like it's different parts. Like I love Madison's ass. I think her ass is amazing.
So
and
sweet.
Like if it was appropriate, I just would put my face in it and it's great. It's
I think
a great
you should
ass.
Every time I see you.
Well, all right. That's how I'll greet you now, like a dog. Like I'm just gonna put my face in your ass.
Please.
And then I mean I have to be honest, like the boobs are fun and good and pretty and nice. I don't know that that is the one characteristic that really does it for me.
I'd agree.
Maybe because I have my own, like I don't know. I don't know what it is. And not that I spend a ton of time playing with them, but I don't know. For me, I guess it depends on the woman. Like, I feel like I find maybe different characteristics in different women.
That's a good point. Yeah,
that are
I
like
agree.
Kind of sexy or that kind of turn me on.
I agree with that too. I think it's different for different females. For you, it's just hard for me to narrow down. Like you said, ass for me, but for you, I don't know. When
you don't
you're,
have to say anything.
No, but like just you as a naked person, you're just like the whole package kind of thing.
Naked.
You. Like your naked body, you're like, I feel like it should be in a white light and you look like a porcelain. Oh God, I just hit my mic. Sorry. A white, like porcelain angel. Like you're just that whole angelic package.
How much have you had to drink?
Just a few shots of Fireball. But you're like muscular too. Like I appreciate that too, but not to an extreme where like, I think you're going to beat me up kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like just to relay it back off, you said something about me. I'm going to say that about you. Like you're kind of the whole package. In like an angelic but strong way. Like it's weird to describe. Ladies, gentlemen, reach out to us. She's a catch. But yeah, it definitely varies based on the woman. I agree. Lips are a biggie for me too. I definitely admire a good pair of lips on the face. Well, and below too, I guess.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic probably.
And as far as like the feeling, the touch, the action.
Absolutely.
I think it's the kissing is a biggie. I love to kiss. Mm. And I could do that a lot during interactions.
Yeah.
So if I don't really feel that good connection or it's not quite up to my standard, which is different for everybody.
Sure.
I don't really have a full connection, but I think females are kind of I can't even make that generalization. Males are good at kissing too.
But. Yeah.
But it is. I get your point about the lips and stuff.
Yeah. It's like that softness. I think for a lot of us, it's just that something different. Like if you are primarily a heterosexual woman and you have had most of your sexual experiences with a man, then experiencing a woman's touch.
Even just a little.
Yeah, just that newness or that differentness. Mm-hmm. Now I'm making up words.
The Bambi.
If you're going to just go Bambi on it, it's a whole new world. And that in and of itself is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And just those, it is, it's literally different feels.
Yeah.
Different textures, different scents. Women sometimes just like smell.
In a good way.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that men don't, but. So yeah, it can just be a whole new world of fun. So yeah, thank you guys for that question this
That's
episode.
A good one. Yeah. Definitely tied into what we were talking about.
Yeah, it's good. So I think that's it. That's going to wrap up episode 6. So thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget that we want to hear from you. Please reach out. You can connect with us on Twitter and Instagram, both at FWAT_podcast, or you can email us at friendswithatwist@yahoo.com. Feel free to leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. We would love to get the word out and get some new listeners.
And honestly, if there's anything that you're curious about or you're unsure about, please reach out to us. Let us know. We'd love to focus on that in one of our future episodes.
Yeah.
Not only do we love to just share experiences, but we really like to share experiences that help other people and maybe help you learn from them, too. So I think until next time, get out there and find your twist, friends.
Oh, yeah.